You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, July 26th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's hard for me to leave. We're almost through the month of July. Year's flying by. So much time is going by so fast when you're having this much fun. I always like to remind y'all, I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but I am going to be loyal to the end for my friend Sven Longshanks. We continue to put our support links right here on the Daily Nationalist page. Please take a moment to drop in an email. The email service is cheap. I really like it. One of the cool things about the email service, when you open up their homepage, you know what? It's overrepresented by pictures of white people emailing. It's the one place I can think of on the internet where you go to their webpage and there is an overrepresentation of white people emailing their convict relatives. It's a good service. It's cheap. It's very efficient. If you live overseas, I really recommend it. But that's up to you. I don't necessarily think it'll put you on a list. But you make your own decisions. If nothing else, drop the man a postcard. He does appreciate it. I appreciate it. All of us here appreciate y'all sticking with us. I know the content isn't what it was when Sven was running this thing. I look forward to the day he can go back to running this thing and you can get a wider array of content than what you're getting now. I do once again thank all of you for sticking with us through this difficult time. I brought a news story today and I'm going to kind of branch off from it and talk about some other things, which is not surprising to anybody. But one of the big happenings, of course, this past week has been the Netanyahu speech to the Congress. Now, Dr. Johnson already did a show on this yesterday. Very good show. If you didn't check that out, I encourage you to do so. It's very good. You can't top Dr. Johnson's work in these areas. And though I'm going to talk about Netanyahu's speech to Congress, I'm talking about a different angle that Dr. Johnson didn't go through yesterday. And again, I'm going to kind of get into some other things. This just gives us a kind of a jumping off point. So as such, I guess we'll just go ahead and get off into the story and I'll just do my thing where I just wander off into random side subjects. But I think we can tie it all together. This comes from RT and the headline is U.S. and Israel should create a Middle East NATO. Netanyahu. The Israeli prime minister has proposed an alliance aimed against Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has proposed the creation of a new military bloc modeled after NATO and called the Abraham Alliance, aimed against Iran. Right off the bat, I think it's funny because the name he has come up with definitely tells you who would be running the alliance. Now, they justify NATO and they say this is purely a defensive alliance, which obviously is not true and has been demonstrated to be not true. And yet here he wants, now they're talking about a Pacific NATO against China, and now Netanyahu is demanding a Middle East NATO against Iran. Now they can never point to us exactly what Iran has done to the U.S. And I think it's so telling that he has come up with this brilliant marketing name, the Abraham Alliance. Now, with the European, with the actual original NATO alliance, it's the U.S. And then their quote-unquote allies are just vassal states that are done what they're told. This, again, is just obvious fact. People in many of these European countries that are part of NATO are voting again and again and protesting to say they don't want this conflict with Russia. They want their industry back. They want, which was based on cheap Russian natural gas. And it doesn't matter because they're vassal states. They're occupied by the U.S. If this Middle East NATO were to come about, you would have the opposite dynamic. Nobody thinks the U.S. would be calling the shots in this Middle East NATO, the so-called Abraham Alliance. As things are now, Israel would be calling the shots, and it is the U.S. which would be the vassal state. Netanyahu spoke before the joint session of the U.S. Congress on Wednesday. It was his fourth address to American lawmakers, beating Winston Churchill's record, although about 70 House and Senate members declined to attend for one reason or another. Now, all of you know by now about this sickening display. You know, and it was. If you set aside for a moment just the fact that it's, you know, Netanyahu, Israel, regardless, you have a foreign leader of a country that comes to address what's supposed to be the quote-unquote people's house. It's supposed to be the Congress which represents the American people. Now, you take Netanyahu's speech and you compare it to any president, regardless of what team they're representing, any previous president. Now, they mentioned in the article Netanyahu's fourth appearance beating out Winston Churchill's record. But see, that's not what's important. I believe Netanyahu managed to beat out anybody's standing ovation record. You compare this to any State of the Union from any president that's ever been elected and look at the number of standing ovations. This guy got like 58 standing ovations. It was just people falling, all these so-called representatives of the people falling all over themselves to stand up. People from both parties. Now, if you have a TMR president, sure, you're going to get standing ovations. The TMR side of the house, you've seen them on TV where they pan across the floor and they've got TMR over here, Team D is over here, and TMR will stand up and applaud, and Team D will sit there on their hands and scowl and shake their heads, or vice versa. If you have a Team D president, the Team D will jump up no matter what he says and give them a standing ovation, and TMR will be over there scowling, you know, maybe flipping off, making obscene gestures because, you know, public behavior from these so-called representatives is getting more and more crude and base. However, not such the case with Netanyahu. Now, I mentioned in the article, yet some of these people, primarily from Team D, that didn't show up because, after all, they're going around to their voters talking about they, too, don't think that Israel should be mass slaughtering, genociding the Palestinians, and yet they don't want to show up and sit there and be filmed not standing and doing an applause, so they just don't go. You see, it would be braver for these so-called standing against Israel representatives, standing against ethnically cleansing and genociding the Palestinians, if they would have actually shown up. Now, I think Tlaib or whatever her name is, she showed up and waved some signs calling him a mass murderer and whatever, but that's the only one. The rest of them just didn't show up because at the same time, they don't want to be filmed not paying reverence to what appears to be, for all practical purposes, to an outside observer, to America's emperor. So you have both teams standing up. They can't fall over each other fast enough to give Netanyahu standing ovation after standing ovation after standing ovation. Look, this is the leader of a foreign country. Okay? They're a leader of a foreign country. There's no such thing. You can have alliances. Alliances have happened all throughout history. There's nothing wrong with that. From a practical standpoint, but in the real world, it's always been understood that alliances are temporary. They've always been temporary. When you come together and you both have a common goal, you can form an alliance to better achieve that goal, to work together. But no two nations, I don't care how buddy-buddy you are, how good a friend you are, whatever you think, no two nations' interests are going to overlap one another 100%. And it's always been recognized that in an alliance, no two nations have 100% overlapping. That's why they're temporary. They're not going to have 100% overlapping interests. That's not possible. So when you have this narrative that the interests of the U.S., hear me now, the interests of the U.S. and the interests of Israel do, because politicians from both parties tell us this, both by their words, their rhetoric, and their behavior, as is demonstrated by these 58 slobbering standing ovations, they tell us that America and Israel's interests do overlap 100%. Now, if we know that no two sovereign nations can have their interests overlap 100%, again, that's not possible, no matter how much kinship you feel towards them, no matter what your views towards that nation are, as a practical matter, there are going to be things that are going to be in the interest of one nation that will not be in the interest of that other nation. So when they're telling us that the interests of America and Israel do overlap 100%, what are they essentially telling us? That these are not two separate nations, that they're essentially one and the same. I believe that it's pretty obvious that the U.S. is the vassal state here. Like I say, if you look at NATO and Europe, the Germany, France, all the rest of them are vassal states. The U.S. calls the shots. If Netanyahu gets his Abraham alliance, which he probably will, he gets everything else he wants, there's no doubt. I mean, who's going to sit here and say it's the U.S. that will be calling the shots and Israel will be the vassal states? I mean, who's going to actually say that? Who is going to write an article claiming that? I guess somebody will. Once in a while, I come across one that talks about how I'll come across an article somebody will write talking about how, you know, Israel is actually a vassal state of the U.S. empire, which is just, I usually literally laugh out loud whenever I see that, because the obvious evidence points the other direction. Let's get back to our story. Quoting here, America forged a security alliance in Europe to counter the growing Soviet threat, Netanyahu said at one point. Likewise, America and Israel today can forge a security alliance in the Middle East to counter the growing Iranian threat. Now, what is the growing Iranian threat to the U.S.? Because it seems to me, and I think to any casual observer, that the vast majority of Israel's problems in the Middle East are caused by Israel themselves. You know, Israel's problems with Iran are the creation of Israel themselves. It's not Iran that has randomly gone around periodically for years and years, randomly gone in and assassinated people in Israel. It's not Iran that over the years has randomly gone in and just bombed different points in Israel just because. It is Israel that has done that. Time and time again, they'll send squad in, go into Iran and kill somebody, assassinate them. And they know, everybody knows, it's them doing it. They'll go in and bomb some facility in Iran because they say, you're not allowed to have that facility. And then when they have a problem with Iran, oh, look, what a threat Iran is to us. To us. You love how they wrap that in? To us. Iran's not doing anything to the U.S. as far as I can tell. It seems to me Israel creates all these problems, and then when somebody threatens to push back against them, oh my gosh, look, they're threatening you. He said a glimpse of that alliance could be seen on April 14th when Iran launched a missile and drone attack against Israel. The U.S. and U.K. helped shoot them down. Of course, that was because they went and killed an Iranian guy. They assassinated. It was for no reason. They went and assassinate a leading Iranian figure, and then, you know, when they get struck back on, when they get slapped back, oh, look, they're attacking us for no reason. And thank goodness the U.S. and the U.K. came to our defense. He's not mentioning the fact that defense was kind of sketchy as far as how well it worked. These problems. Israel creates these problems for themselves. You know, for itself. And then when people push back, they demand that everybody come to their defense, or particularly that America comes to their defense. This huge problem they're having with the Palestinians, that's their own creation. They haven't even tried to come up I get so tired when I hear some conservatives or some shills talking about, well, the Palestinians, they just want death to Israel. How can Israel put up with that? You go try living in an open air concentration camp for generations to where they regulate even how many calories on average you can intake every year, every day. They regulate how much comes in because they want to make sure you don't have too much to eat, where they keep their thumb on you. Live like that and tell me you're not going to get enough of it. It's a difficult situation. If you're going to try to come up a solution to where Israel exists and the Palestinians have some sort of dignity in their existence, yeah, it's a difficult problem. The point is, they don't even make an attempt to come to a realistic solving of that problem. They never have. They haven't put forth good faith gestures. They haven't put forth good faith initiatives. They haven't tried to come up with realistic answers. This ethnic cleansing that they're doing now, this genociding, this mass slaughter of these people, that's been the plan, obviously, all along. And you'll have shills and conservatives that support Israel, and they say, oh no, Israel's just bent over backwards for the Palestinians. They have no clue. This is just ignorance. This was obviously the plan all along, and now we're just further along in the plan. And when the people that are on the receiving end of these plans don't like it and have the nerve to push back, then it's, oh, we're the victim. Look at this. Come aid us. It's our common enemy. Iran isn't threatening the U.S. The U.S. constantly threatens Iran, but Iran doesn't threaten the U.S. Iran pushes back against Israel. Now, I mentioned some of the Team D Congress people didn't show up because they didn't want to be filmed sitting. They couldn't very well partake. When they're going and telling their voters that they stand against genocide in Gaza, they can't very well then be filmed standing up and giving this guy a standing ovation. So they just chickened out and didn't show up at all because they knew that wouldn't have been an option to really just sit there on their hands. I've got some, look, Team D people, it doesn't matter who gets voted in. If you get Kamala Harris for your next quote-unquote president, as I said on a recent show, you know, what people got to get sunk in their heads is the people you're voting for, not the people that are making the decisions. They're not running the country. You know, and I know most of you already understand that. But Team D people, you know, they need to understand. You get a full Democrat House, Senate, and a president. They're going to cut off aid to Israel just like Team R is going to stop immigration at the border. It's never going to happen. Team R has been telling me that my whole life. They've been telling me, oh, we're really going to crack down. They don't. Only a fool would continue to expect that. They're not going to do that. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care if they stand up and say things you want to hear. At the end of the day, they're not going to cut off any of the weapons, the bombs, the money. That ain't going to happen. It doesn't matter who's in there. Because again, the ones making the actual decisions are not the people you're voting for. They're the customer service reps. It's their job to get griped at by the voters when they don't like what's going on, but they're not going to change policy. Because they're not running the show. I saw an article the other day, that one Republican, that ridiculous idiot with the eye patch. He there was a headline article where he said something along the lines of, the First Amendment probably shouldn't maybe apply to criticizing Israel. Let that one sink in. The First Amendment shouldn't apply to you criticizing a foreign country. Wow. And there's no outrage. Nobody's outraged about that. Everybody just takes it in stride. Everybody, it's just a part of the new norm. Of course, the media, granted, doesn't amplify that. What if a Team R, just to highlight the ridiculousness of this, what if a Team R representative had stood up, their congressperson had stood up and said the First Amendment doesn't apply to criticizing Russia or Vladimir Putin? oh, do you think the media would run with that? Well, of course they would, because that would fall into this other narrative that they are selling. And yet this guy says this and the media could care less. You know, from time to time, people ask me, they'll say, GPD, why don't you talk more about Jewish / Israeli power and influence over the U.S. government? Why don't you should talk about that more? And my answer is to that question is why? At this point in time, what does that do? What's the point? And what I mean by that is, it's so obvious and in your face, okay? If you don't see this, without anybody saying anything, if you don't witness what we're talking about today, 58 standing ovations from both parties, Congress people saying that the First Amendment doesn't apply to criticizing this foreign country. If you don't see this, I don't care how much of a brain dead normie you are. If you see this and you don't understand where this is coming from, then there's only two options. A, you just don't want to see it, so you're willfully denying reality. Or B, you're so clinically retarded. In other words, what I mean by that, not as an insult, not as a name-calling insult, I want to be clear here. I think 70 IQ, anything below 70 IQ, I may be wrong, they may have changed the number. By the clinical medical definition, anything below, I believe it's 70 IQ, is considered retarded by the clinical textbook. You have to be clinically retarded if you just literally, you just can't see it. You can't see it. Now, whichever of those two, that's the only way you don't see this now. When you watch a spectacle like this, a foreign leader shows up and they're all falling over each other, standing ovations. You compare that to a State of the Union address from any president. If you don't see it, it's only two things can apply. You either just don't want to see it, you're just denying reality because you can't deal with the implications, or you're literally a moron. In which case, it's a waste of time to sit there and say, let me tell you about Israeli Jewish influence. Let me tell you about that. That's stupid. It's a waste of time. I'm not doing it. If you can't see, if you can't get it when it's here in your face, then I'm not going to waste my breath on it. It's in your face now. Now, granted, several years ago, it was a little more subtle. Maybe you might have been worth pointing out back then, but now it's in your face. There's nothing else to see. Netanyahu thanked U.S. President Joe Biden for bringing the alliance together, as well as his predecessor Donald Trump for brokering the Abraham Accords between Israel and several Arab countries during his term. I think we should call it the Abraham Alliance, he said, of the proposed NATO-like bloc. According to the Israeli Prime Minister, countries at peace with West Jerusalem, or that intend to do so, ought to join the bloc, as Iran is a threat to them all. Again, Iran's not threatening anybody. They're not. Of course, this flies in the face of the peace deals that China has gone over and brokered between Iran and Saudi Arabia. They're going to pretend that doesn't exist. When we fight Iran, you gotta love this we, when we fight Iran with American money, American bombs, American weapons, we fight Iran, we're fighting the most radical and murderous enemy of the United States. This radical and murderous enemy that hasn't done anything to the United States, by the way. When Israel fights and works to prevent a nuclear Iran, we're not only protecting ourselves, we're protecting you, he argued. Our enemies are your enemies. Our fight is your fight. Our victories will be your victories, Netanyahu told U.S. lawmakers. I know that America has our back. Well, he does know that. Why does he know that? If America is a foreign country that acts independently in its own interests, then how is Netanyahu so sure that he has America's back? I'm sure y'all have seen the video I think it was a TikTok video that was going around where this woman was walking through the congressional offices, you know, the offices where all these people actually have an office. And they pan the camera around and literally every one of them either has an Israeli flag and or a sign printed out, identical signs saying, "I stand with Israel." You had this congressperson that came out and said that every congressperson has an AIPAC handler that watches over them. This is in your face. Don't ask me to point it out. If you can't see it, you're just not wanting to see it. Meanwhile, in America, how are the people doing? None of this crap is for free, by the way. People are living in their cars. Not just in shitty inner cities either. You can drive through small towns and there's abandoned houses and laundry hanging in the tree limbs. I've seen it. You can sit there and say, well, those people, and what you want about those people. But that's the people living in the United States. Meanwhile, in Israel, they got free health care, by the way. Why? Because they don't have to spend anything on their military budget as they go around causing problems with all their neighbors because the U.S. is covering that bill. Meanwhile, the people in this country are living in the streets, living in their cars. Again, I understand. I'm not going to sit here and say I completely 100% empathize with some filthy homeless person sleeping on a sidewalk with a heroin needle hanging out of their arm. I'm not saying that. But when wages have been purposely stagnated in this country for decades, and rents now, because rental properties are being bought up by BlackRock and the like, and now rents cost close to $2,000 a month here, and people are still making shit wages from decades ago, adjusted for inflation, and they can't afford to rent a place to live, ultimately they wind up living in their car. People living on that shoestring, they wind up living in their car. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I said, you don't understand. You know, once you get into that situation, once you miss that $2,000 rent payment, and now you're living in your car, and people will be like, well, y'all just get a job. Good luck with that. You're going to go apply, and they're going to say, well, where do you live? Well, I live in my car down at the city park right now. Ain't going to hire you. Where do you shower? You're going to come in stinking because you ain't got no place to shower. It becomes a downward spiral. See, used to be, you would have homeless people, bums, and they were, the people had all these mental problems, and there's still a lot of those that are that way. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'm not doing some pie in the sky BS here. There's still a lot of those people have drug problems, alcohol problems, mental problems, and so on. But what we are seeing is an increase in people who just, they lose a place to live. And now they're stuck living in their car. And now they can't get a job because what are you going to put your address? City Park? You come in and apply for a job stinking because you have no place to take a shower. Meanwhile, in Israel, they got free health care because America pays for all of this. Who's the client state? You know, who's calling the shots? Which country is calling the shots? Which country does what they're told? It's not even, you know, it's just something take a look and come to your own conclusions. Let's finish this argument out, or this article, this argument. There's no argument. Let's finish this article out. The U.S. has given military aid to Israel throughout the 9-month war with Hamas. No, they've given military aid to Israel forever. Anyway, with Hamas, Netanyahu declared following the Palestinian armed group's raid out of Gaza. Pressed by Palestinian and Arab Americans in Biden's party, his government has proposed a 3-stage ceasefire plan for the enclave, but West Jerusalem has been reluctant to accept it. Israel will not stop until it has destroyed the military capabilities of Hamas and ended its rule in Gaza and recovered all the captives taken on October 7th attack, Netanyahu said, adding, that's what total victory means, and we will settle for nothing less. Only he's not doing anything to get the hostages back. You know, they'll sit here. Naysayers and people who defend this nonsense would sit here and say, oh, you're just an anti-Semite. You just hate these people for no reason. I'm sympathetic. I'm sympathetic to those Israelis who have loved ones that were taken hostage, which obviously Hamas is bending over backwards to try to keep alive, because dead hostages, abused hostages, tortured hostages doesn't work for them. Now, Israel does. Israel takes prisoners. There's well-documented evidence. The media can't say he's saying that without evidence. No, there's well-documented evidence that these Palestinians that the IDF captures, they torture them. Because I guess they can just do whatever they want. But as far as for Hamas, that works against their own interests. I'm not saying Hamas are super moral people here. I'm saying that works against their, they're trying to form a narrative too. They've got a strategy as well. They're not doing what they're doing at random. And torturing or murdering the hostages works against their goals. So I'm sure they're bending over backwards. Imagine being one of these Israelis and you've got your brother, your sister, mother, whoever, or one of these hostages. And your government's not doing anything. They're not doing anything. They're not doing anything. The people that died on October 7th, again, it's now well documented that a lot of those Israelis were killed by the IDF, just mowing people down when they showed up. Hamas trying to rescue these Israelis. I mean, yeah, they're rescuing them so they can take them as hostage. I'm not, you know, being silly. But you had situations where Hamas is trying to rescue these people because they're trying to take them hostage, and the IDF is mowing down their own dudes. Well, of course, these Israelis that have loved ones that are hostages, they're in a bad spot. I'm sympathetic towards them. I am. People are just people, you know, of course. Yeah, that must be really hard for them. And you got Netanyahu standing up here saying, we're doing everything we can to get the hostage. No, he's not. These hostages, you had that case, what was it? A couple months ago, a couple of these hostages escaped. They came out there waving, like, they came out there naked. So they could show they didn't have nothing on them. They had like a white t-shirt waving it, hollering out, we're you. We're y'all's guys. We escaped. And the IDF shot them down. Of course, as always, is like when the police gun someone down here in the U.S., they're going to investigate. They said they were going to investigate it. If you're one of these Israeli family members, you know, don't hold your breath for the results of that investigation. This guy doesn't care anything about the run-of-the-mill Jew living in Israel. You know, if it furthers his power, if it furthers his agenda, his overall big agenda. Now, he cares about the settlers because that's his political backing. But as far as just some run-of-the-mill Jew that got a family member kidnapped on October 7th, he doesn't care. They're not making any efforts to get these hostages back. Not really. They made some early on overtures in a prisoner swap. Why haven't they followed up and done some more of that? You know, every time somebody proposes something that would end in a prisoner swap, oh, no, they come up with some reason why they can't do that. Now, circling back to this spectacle, as we look at the state of the U.S. and all these Congress people slavishly bowing to their emperor, it's what it looks like. The corruption, and I always come back to corruption, because you can apply corruption to, you know, see, I have to stop here. People call you names when you talk about the truth. People will just call you names. Shills will listen to this discussion we've had today, and what will they do? They'll point and they'll scream and they'll say, anti-Semitism. You're just an anti-Semite. You have these TMR politicians that say anybody protesting what's happening in Gaza are anti-Semites. Now, granted, on other political positions, these people out protesting, by and large, probably do not share my political views. But what is right, and what is wrong. See, it's not anti-Semitism. What I look at here is corruption. If this was the prime minister of Britain calling the shots in the U.S. And these people were slavishly doing this and had I Stand With Britain hanging off all of their office doors. We would still be having this exact same conversation. And it wouldn't be anti-Britism or whatever you would want to call it. Anti-Angloism, whatever. It's about the corruption. You've got corporations that bought up the rental properties and people can't afford a place to live now. Meanwhile, your government can't be bothered with that. They're up here kissing ass for some foreign leader and promising him indefinite money forever, no matter what. They can't step in. And I'm not even saying like the government should step in and provide a free house. Only low-level IQs can only think that way. The answer is the government should give everybody a free house. No, the government shouldn't allow corporations to buy up the rental properties and so they can purposely drive the price up for their own stock portfolios. That shouldn't be allowed. Then maybe the government shouldn't purposely work with the corporations to suppress wages. Maybe if the government did those two things, or didn't do those two things, however you want to word it, maybe then people could afford to buy a place or rent a place to live without the government providing a free house. I hate it when people give you these two false choices. You either have what you have now, or you just some commie that wants the government to buy everybody a free house, as if there's nothing in the middle. The corruption. This is what it comes down to. It's not anti-Semitism. This is about corruption. You have a foreign leader. It doesn't matter what country he's representing. You have a foreign leader here, and every so-called representative of the United States people, the American people, are falling all over themselves, slobbering on this guy on TV, on the public stage. Look, that's corruption on the level that can't be denied. It's in your face. It's right there. They're not even hiding the bribe in a paper sack. They're just handing the money in front of you and spitting on you as they walk by. The corruption is so in your face that it can't be denied. And you can go around and you can pretend that if Trump gets in there, it's going to change. You can pretend that if Kamala Harris gets in there, it's going to change. And it's not going to change. It isn't. It's not going to make any difference. The system itself. It's not political parties. It's the system itself. Is corrupt. And I believe it's corrupt beyond redemption. We'll wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me. Wrapping up your week with us here at Radio Albion. If you haven't got a chance to check our shows out that we've had up all week, just go in there, download them, or listen to them on the site. If you download, click that download where it says download underneath. The three dots don't work anymore because, you know, the site's barely limping along with me trying to keep it going as best I can. With Dr. Johnson and I trying to keep this thing going as best we can. You know, where it says download, hit that. You can download it, put it on your device, and listen to it as you drive or whatever the case may be. But check it out. I think we've had great stuff up here Monday through Friday. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.